SiriusXM Sports presents
At the Races with Steve Bick.
Enough! Horse racing, handicapping,
interviews.
This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
A very good Wednesday, race fans. Sirius 219, XM 201, Sports Zone 964. If you're listening to Sirius XM online and at our website as well, stevebick.com. And a great start, it looks like, to the third week of Saratoga. It's Whitney week. I've already this morning heard from my man, Neil Kleinberg, Neil coming up, some of the other partners, his cousin Mark is coming, and Steve Carlin, all partners in our horses, and they're, even though they can't necessarily come to the racetrack, they want to be in town. And yeah, there's plenty of that going on. It doesn't necessarily make the, you know, make the scene around the track bristle and spark, but it does seem around town. In fact, I was talking to Gary. Gary said that he sensed into the weekend that, you know, the town, a little energy had built, to a degree. And, you know, certainly these next two weekends, Travers next Saturday, as well as the Ballerina and the test. Well, and the card they're going to draw today at the racing office, they sent out the missives to horsemen, enter early, and they'll, you know, try to put together a top flight card for Saturday, and the stakes action will go a long way when it comes to the Whitney and the personal ensign. The Alan Jerkins, and I'd have to poke around. I don't know if anybody knows the answer to this top of their head. When was the last time the King's Bishop / Jerkins wasn't run on the Travers card? That's a question worth researching. And a couple of others, the Bowling Green, the first of the two turf standards, along with the Sword Dancer, and also the nice filly and mare sprint, the Caress. So five stakes on Saturday. And of course, Del Mar already drawn. So the next big focus of the weekend in terms of the stakes that are, you know, daily, it's a day at the spa day at Saratoga today. The wonderful filly and then a mare that, you know, was probably part of, part of the early, of some of the Chad Brown's early success, and maintained her form, you know, brilliantly, and she was particularly good. In fact, I'm pretty sure she broke her maiden here. In fact, I put up my selections early this morning. I looked at races 4 through 10, and I wanted to put a picture of Day at the Spot, and I think the one I put was her breaking her maiden at Saratoga, as it happens. Day at the Spa today, the John Morrissey tomorrow, the Coronation Cup on Friday. The Saratoga stakes schedule. And looking ahead, a quiet Sunday with just the Birdstone, the long distance mile and three quarter. A throwback to the days of the Saratoga Cup and some of those kinds of races, right? So we're looking forward to it. Got a very fun, eclectic morning, and a lot of horse player success stories today, and it'll include a visit in the third hour with Scotty McKeever. Scotty Pick Six. Scotty McKeever, who won the contest at Monmouth. And in fact, I just heard from Brian Skirka, who had to get to the office this morning to email me the full results. I wanted to highlight everybody that came away with prizes. We're also going to talk to Ray Arsenault, NHC champ, Ray Arsenault, Ray with a NHC qualifier over the weekend. We'll check in with Ray. And Scott Carson is going to join us. And Scott and Chris Larmy, they have launched this Sport of Kings website. And a lot of it is contest-driven. And Scott's going to outline the project. I mean, yet another example of, you know, the time and money and commitment. There's so many different, you know, enterprising concepts that, you know, people have, you know, forged with over the last several years, and always happy to, you know, showcase those. So we'll hear from Scott. Of course, it's Wednesday, so Sid will join us. Sire Watch Pedigree Focus brought to you by Hill and Dale. I'm going to hit on Violence, who is just getting one after another. And, of course, you know, getting another grade one for Volatile, or getting another grade one winner. But Volatile's win, you know, adding up with No Parole's Woody Stevens win, Violence just having a fabulous year. That's good. And an interesting case study in, you know, the ebb and flow of stallion success. Sid Fernando and Brian Aragone. We haven't had a chance to talk to Brian in I think actually probably 4 weeks, because we talked to Paul Madej last week. And so Brian will be in, do some Canterbury touchstone work, look at the last couple of weeks, and he'll give you the lay of the pick five land today at Canterbury. Last night they had a all quarter horse card. I'll save some of those results for our conversation with Brian. Seth, of course, Seth Merrow, have Seth in a little bit early, as soon as he gets off the air, actually. We'll talk to him at the beginning of hour three. I'm going to try. I got to get to Pete. I have not talked to Pete in actually since the meet started, so over 2 weeks. So we're going to try to slip Pete in between Scott Carson and Ray Arsenault as well. So a busy morning. And I've got the window, and before we look at yesterday, here's the rundown. And congratulations to, you know, to all, particularly the top five finishers. And Scotty McKeever, the cash prize of, you know, the guaranteed winner's share, $11,475. He took a BCBC prize, you know, because the top five winners each got to pick two off the prize board. And then the next 6 through 26, they each got to pick one thing off the prize board. And there were 20 NHC seats. There were 5 BCBCs. And then there were 6 cash prizes. So in addition to the prize money that was available. So Scotty took the prize money, $11,475. And then he picked a BCBC seat, which is worth equivalent to $10,000. And then he took the $9,750 cash off the board as well. So $20,000 plus the $10,000 value BCBC. Very nice. Gwynn Houston took a guarantee, got the guarantee second place money, $6,375, took a BCBC seat, and then the top NHC prize, which was NHC plus 4,000. So a really nice, basically, basically a $20,000 score for Gwen. David Rink, $3,825 third place prize money. He took a BCBC and $7,950 in cash. Adam Aiken was fourth. He got $2,550 fourth place money and a BCC, and he took the $6,600 off the board in the cash prizes. So pretty nice, $18,000 and change. Our friend and DT partner Paul Weezer, he took fifth place money, which was $1,275. Then he picked the VC seat, plus he took the second NHC and cash ticket, which was the NHC plus $3,000. And I think that's Paul's first NHC seat this year. And of course, he's got as many almost as anybody. He's got, I think this is probably his 15th, maybe 16th. But he'll get a second, he'll punch a second ticket yet between now and January. So 10,000 plus 3,000. So there's another 14,000. And then the rest, got one prize pick each. Robert Pinnell took the 5,500. Then Ryan Olson, 4,500. Joe Rosen took the NHC seat and 2,000. Truls Engbritsen took the $4,000 prize off the board. The Undertaker, Stephen Thompson, he's been hot. He took $4,000 himself. And then a bunch of NHC seats. NHC seats to the next finishers, Mark Streiff, Tanya Taylor, Adam Aiken, Kyle King. I guess you had to have alliterative names. You had to have the same initials start both your names. It's pretty funny. Tanya Taylor, Adam Aiken, Kyle King. Sean Nolan took an NHC seat. Craig Kaufman, Dave McCarty, Dave Curry. Frank Fosber. There's another double F. Ken Kasiewicz, double K. Kevin Kreiser. What? Get out of here with this. This is made up, this list. And Bill Rendino. Pretty funny. And then some other prizes. Dave Wolf took 4,000. Andrew Vallett took 4,000. Nicholas Futio took 4,000. So congratulations to everybody. 26 big winners, 228 participants. And we'll talk about Scotty and how he approached it. And it's a great story because he was not killing it by any means and was trickling, was basically hemorrhaging money. And he hit the last race for 500 and change, cold exacta, straight exacta to win. So one and widely respected as one of the top contest players around. Scotty McKeever later in the show. Scott Carson after the break. Colonial got started, and yesterday, as people were waiting for the 6:30 start, word came out that really frustrated players, and with good reason. Colonial abandoning the aggressive takeout posture that they had, inaugurated the season with last year, particularly on their pick five. And so that did not sit well. The racing itself was actually delayed at one point with a very typical summer storm down there. But big day, big start. Trevor McCarthy wins the first two races, then wins two more as the day went on. Forrest Boyce, she had three wins, including two for Shuggie. Shug, one for Joe Allen, North Dakota, and one for the Phipps's, Vigilante's Way. Todd Pletcher and Eclipse that'll try to win today, actually, with, we mentioned you mentioned yesterday with Jill, Farmington Road. Valiance to the turf yesterday and won as well. Ferris Allen at a short price. Always happy for Ferris when he wins. So good start to the Colonial season. And today, nine race card. And I'm going to assume they start at 5:30. Got some other results that we'll weave into the morning. Let's take a break. We'll come back. Scott Carson kicks it off. Ray Arsenault in a bit. Pete and more.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Ah, Saratoga. It's history. It's tradition. It's world-class racing. It's jump racing. Yes, steeplechase racing has played a role in Saratoga's rich history and tradition since 1864. And today, it's a part of what makes Saratoga so special. Watch every Wednesday of the meet and two special Thursdays featuring the Grade 1 A.P. Smithick on July 23rd and the Grade 1 New York Turf Riders Cup on August 20th. Savor the thrill of horses flying over fences. Steeplechase racing, it's a Saratoga tradition.
How's it going, Sue?
Hey!
Have you seen this commercial?
What career track are you on? University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program can prepare you for an exciting career in racing. Turn your passion into a paycheck.
Isn't that the horse racing school that Bob Baffert went to?
Yeah, Todd Pletcher, too, and lots of other major players in every area of the industry.
Really? Like what?
Well, for starters, we have graduates who are executives at Churchill Downs, NYRA, Darley America, Gulfstream, Keeneland, you name it. They're also regulators, racing officials, bloodstock agents, track announcers. My class had a job placement rate of almost 90%.
Wow, what other college program has results like that?
What career track are you on? The University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program. Enroll today and get on track for success. Nearly 90% of our students are employed in the racing industry immediately upon graduation. For scholarship opportunities and more, check out our website at ua-rtip.org.
Breaking down the biggest stories in the world of horse racing. This is At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Step on side to side. Body's gently moving. I let myself fly these times. Dance for miles and miles. Crowd's been slow.
We're back at the races, 20 minutes in, some Jim Cook, Camel Fat, getting us going, the rabbit hole, and of course, getting involved in racing and running racing websites and media projects. That's a bit of a black hole, and Scott Carson, of course, for years and years with Public Handicapper, which was a tremendous service to the sport for a long time, a great place to exchange ideas and handicap. And Scott, of course, himself widely respected on the contest circuit, and now part of the team with Chris Larmy and the Sport of Kings show that they're doing, and also now the Sport of Kings website that Scott has pioneered. Good morning, Scott Carson.
Good morning, Steve. Thanks for having me on.
Not at all. Not at all. It's been too long, actually, now that I think about it. And, there's really so many nice things that, you know, that you've done and now have, you know, kind of morphed into something new. And it seems like Public Handicapper was part of the internet's infancy, so to speak, you know, and you've kind of evolved with the new concepts.
Yeah, you know, a lot of people cut their teeth on Public Handicapper, and I've been getting a lot of emails and support, people who contributed to the funding campaign that we had, from people who said they joined in like 2005 as fledgling horse players, and like that's how they learned how to handicap, was by reading other people's comments and, you know, just doing the few races every month, every week. And usually there was free PPs available for at least one of the races, and then a lot of people just learned how to find free PPs for almost every race. So that's basically sort of the history. It turns out that even though we only had one contest at a time and four races per week, there were a lot of people who that's like how they learned how to play the horses. And what Sport of Kings, the idea with Sport of Kings is that, well, there's going to be a lot more opportunity than that. It's going to be more than four races. It's going to be more like four contests per week. And hopefully more than that, even.
Very nice.
And with free PPs, I should note.
Nice.
PPs for every race, for every contest, every race, you know, so that people don't have to go hunt them down anywhere.
Well, that's great. That whole concept of enhanced availability of information. You know, in fact, we had Pat, we were with Pat Cummings on Friday, and one of the mantras of the work that he's doing with racing ideas.
Yeah, free data, right?
Is more
that's,
data.
That's one of the obstacles to becoming a horse player, is the expense of data. And then the other obstacle is just the learning curve. And when you combine those two, it's hard for people to find a path from, hey, I'm kind of interested in this, to, hey, I love this and I love the handicapping puzzle, where if they're provided with free PPs and a fun environment in order to learn, they're much more likely to become regular engaged horse players. And that doesn't mean we want them all to like end out betting $100 a day on the weekend, but we want everybody to learn at whatever level they're thinking about, you know, right? Whatever level they're going to become, whether they end up being a $2 bettor, or maybe they don't bet, but they're just a fan, and they watch the Kentucky Derby on TV, and they have Kentucky Derby parties and that kind of thing.
Well, where do you stand on the site? How close are you with the?
All right. Well, we officially opened up the URL on Monday. I mean, not officially, but we just opened it up, and a few people snuck on there. and then yesterday, we announced to the Public Handicapper mailing list and anybody who contributed to our funding campaign, like, okay, go. It's open. Go ahead and go for it. But there's still a lot of things that still need to be done. I mean, even right before you called, I was just putting the final touches on the footer, which has, you know, like about Sport of Kings and, you know, who to contact for help and that kind of thing. So right now there's nothing at the bottom of the website. So it's a little raw, but we wanted to open it up because we do have an NHC qualifier that's starting on Saturday. And I don't want to be like announcing on Friday, hey, NEC qualifier starting tomorrow. I want people to like have a chance to get to know the site a little bit and snoop around and enter that contest.
What is the specific URL?
It's sportofkings.net.
Okay.
Sportofkings.com. Somebody's sitting on that. I don't know what. They probably want a lot of money for it.
Well, and there's been, I mean, there's been, obviously, it's a, you know, it's a popularized term. And, you know, Rich Migliori had, has got a group that does media consulting and so forth, which I think is Sport of Kings Media. You know, I'm actually surprised you got sportofkings.net, that it was that readily, that it was that readily available. And okay, so now I've gone to it, and how is it going to work? Give everybody a thumbnail on you know what the concept is and how they're going to engage.
Okay, well, there's a couple different types of contests, but first off, let's talk about the NEC qualifier, since I'm sure have tons of people who want to win the national championship listening to you. So we have these NEC qualifier round one and round twos, and Public Handicapper was also a qualifier, but it was a 6-month contest, and you just had to grind it out over 100 races, and it's hard to stay good for that long. So it's a tough ask for people. So what we're doing with this site is we're having monthly round one qualifiers, and this year, since we're just starting in August, we'll have 3 round one qualifiers where anybody can enter, and you don't even have to be an NEC Tour player to enter and compete, but if you want to be eligible to go to the final round, then you need to be an NEC Tour player, and the top 100 of those will then move on to the finals, which is Breeders' Cup weekend. It'll be all the Breeders' Cup races. So anybody who's like competing in the BCBC, for example, they'll already be handicapping, so it won't be like any extra work for them. They'll just have to make their picks. So and the great thing about this, sort of having these round one qualifiers, is that if you really stink it up in August, you can start again in September. If you have a good October, you're in. And then, of course, you do have to have a good weekend on Breeders' Cup Day, but like everybody expects to do that.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and I'll also mention, when you talk about being, you know, a member of the tour and enrolling, you've got between now and Labor Day with the weekly, the Beat Bic contest. And once you qualify for our final, you are eligible to join the tour for $4.99 instead of $50. So there's your entree. You don't necessarily have to.
That's great. I didn't realize it was that good of a deal.
Exactly. And you know, last year, by the time we were done, there were, I think, close to 300 people had joined the tour. And I know we had 15 the first week, and we'll probably average in that range, 15 to 20 a week. And you're saving yourself $45. So those that are cost conscious, you know, we've talked to any number of qualifiers for NHC that, you know, are playing the $18, you know, play-ins, and that is a, you know, an austere way to approach this. So you know that concept and trying to save as much as you can, getting to Vegas, we're all for it, and trying to help provide it. We've got, you know, we're going to send one person, and you know, you've got another avenue as well. And of course, everybody's going to be playing Breeders' Cup weekend.
So you definitely have you've got a better deal for people who, you know, aren't sure about if they want to become tour members. That's a great avenue. That's a great path. I think our contest is really, you have to be a tour member before you start the August contest. So by, you know, by Saturday, before the post time of the first race, you have to become a tour member. But it's only $50, and you're going to have a ton of free chances to qualify, including through your Beat Bit contest. So, and, you know, there's still some free tournaments that are going to be run on horseplayers.com. So I always tell people, like, just pay the tour, do the tour. It's $50. You're going to have all these opportunities, and you'll be a part of the game. So that's nice. The way we're doing it.
How? What's the format? Or are you going to have different formats as the site evolves?
Well, different formats are always a possibility. Like, we'll be flexible, and I don't know where we'll be a year from now. But for right now, it's a standard win place with a 20-to-1 odds cap on win and 10-to-1 on place. And the way the monthly round one contests will work, they'll be like public handicapper, where there'll be 4 to 5 races per weekend, usually the good stakes. And you'll have to, you have to compete in a certain amount of those races. I think we'll allow people to miss 1 week, because, you know, it's a monthly contest and things come up. So we'll allow people to miss 1 week, although usually the people who win these things play every single race. So there'll be, let's say, about 20 races per month for the round one contest, and standard win place, just like if you were on Horse Tourneys, except you'll be on Sporting Kings. And then the finals will be Breeders' Cup weekend, all 14 races, and same format, just the 2 win place, but over 13 races. And the top 2 will win trips to Vegas. Hopefully we get to go to Vegas. And then the top 10% will get tour points, which is pretty key for a lot of people. If you finish 20th, you're going to get some tour points at least. And that's a nice consolation, right? So even if you finish third, you don't go to Vegas, but you get a lot of tour points. So that's an incentive as well.
Excellent. This is terrific. I'm excited for you and everybody that everybody that has contributed to this, and that, you know, you should mention that, because and acknowledge everybody, because you did do some crowdfunding to help support the project.
Yeah, and like, that's also one of the things I'm working on today, is getting the thank you page up. I have all the names. I just have to make them look good. But I also want to make sure that I don't forget to tell you that aside from the NAC qualifier, we're going to have a lot of other interesting contests. And the first one is just a race of the day contest. It's one race a day. It's based on DRF formulator past performances. So they already offer this as a race of the day. So it's really easy. Hmm. You can enter that contest, and there will be weekly prizes to the top 10 finishers. And then there'll be the top 10 finishers will also proceed to the finals, which will be like in December this year. And I'm not sure what prizes we're going to have, but we're going to make it good. We're going to, you know, incentivize people. And the great thing about this is that you'll be able to handicap. And if you're a new horse player, you'll be able to sort of learn how to handicap. It's one race a day. If your day off is Monday or Tuesday, great. If it's not, you know, you still only have one race to play. And it just gives people the opportunities. Like, we don't want, like, thousands of people to play the race of the day on Tuesday, but we want anybody who's interested in doing it to have the opportunity to compete, and maybe they'll even win a prize.
Nice. Well, it's another, you know, noble gesture, and should also fold in what you and Chris are doing weekly with the show.
Well, you know, that's really kind of taken on a life of its own. We've had some, like, amazing guests on our show, and including you. So thank you. And and usually whoever's on the show usually gives out some good stuff. I know you gave out a couple winners, and you stood firm on some favorites, which, you know, we're always trying to be the favorites, but I always appreciate when somebody says, no, you know what, just pick this horse and move on, which you did. So it seems like a lot of people, like really good handicappers that I know, listen on a regular basis. They tell me they do. So we're going to still offer the pod, and we'll promote it on the Sport of Kings website. But originally, when we did the public handicapper pod, it was just exactly the Sport of Kings, the public handicapper races that week. And I think we're probably going to keep the focus on just really good betting opportunities, like, say, you know, Whitney Day, we want to do like the all stakes pick five. Even if all those races aren't part of Sport of Kings, we still want it. We want it to be like a high end handicapping discussion with big potential returns. And even though we may get some beginners on there listening through Sport of Kings, you know, it can't hurt to have like good info right from the get go. So that's why we're gonna handle that one.
Nice. And the formulator concept, I used to do that as well on Derby Trail. We would have a race of the day contest. The same motivation that they get an opportunity with the consistency of looking at the races and comparing notes and having the discussion and seeing what other people's thoughts are. It's a tremendous way to, you know, to just engage and, you know, invite people, you know, to improve their understanding of the races. And when you use something like Formulator, you know, there's just countless elements that, you know, that come into play in the handicapping, you know, puzzle, essentially. And you got access to, you know, the power of Formulator to see, you know, so many different, you know, whether you break out a trainer's stats, you know, subsets of stats. And, you know, that was always when I participated at Public Handicapper for a number of years, Scott, and enjoyed it immensely. And, you know, the leaders, the people that would, you know, kind of bubble to the surface, and be consistently strong, they, you know, they would take time. I mean, they really contributed to, with analysis, with their view of things. And I mean, it was a number of years ago, but I absolutely remember, you know, taking into consideration a lot of what some people were, you know, were coming up with. So this will be a new and different, but have the same old school feel that you created and the environment. You know, you mentioned the mailing list. How many people over the years had a login at Public Handicapper?
Well, let me tell you, Steve, every time somebody wins the NAC or some big tournament, I don't do it every time, but I sometimes think about it like, hey, did they ever play Public Handicapper? And I have a record of everybody who ever played, and they're always on there. And they may have only come
That's
for
great.
A couple of weeks and said, yeah, this isn't for me. Or they may have cut their teeth on it. But, yeah, I think it was 38,000 people have registered historically on Public Handicapper.
Amazing.
And the mailing list is still like 11,000. Although I don't know how many of those are really kind of dead emails that you know, people just are not responding to. I have to clean out that list a little bit, but it's a lot of people, and
it is.
It's great.
It is. It's testimony to how, you know, how engaging it was and what it, you know, what it provided for in terms of promotion of the game. And now a new opportunity with sportofkings.net. Scott Carson and Chris Larmy and everybody that has contributed to this. Looking forward to going live and opportunity to play and qualify toward a Breeders' Cup championship and two NHC seats. Scott, we'll be happy to make sure to keep driving people your way for the opportunity to make the final and win one of the two seats. I appreciate the visit and appreciate how much you've contributed to essentially making people better players and enjoying the game more.
Hey man, thanks a lot for first of all having me on the show, which is tremendous, but also doing what you do, which is I was listening to Rick Hammerly talk about how he realized the show was so popular when he talked about a horse. I think it was Golden something. And
Golden
he talked
balls.
About a horse. And then when the horse won, he got all these calls. And he was like, oh, my God, people are listening to this thing. So you're doing a tremendous service as well, Steve. And it's an honor to be on the show. And I one of the big benefits of winning the national championship or doing really well in it is being on your show. That's why we all want to be there, Steve.
That's too nice. Scott, thanks so much. And we'll talk soon, and we'll looking forward to I'll play. I don't know. I don't think I'm eligible but for a seat, but I certainly will enjoy it. Thanks so much.
All right. Hey, thank you, and we'll talk soon.
Absolutely. Scott Carson, everybody. And follow Scott on Twitter and sportakings.net. Pete Fornatale, we did find Pete, and he's standing by. And, of course, talked about Pete the other day with Kim Weir for the drive-through barbecue at the barn this year coming up on the 14th. Pete, good morning.
Good morning to you, my friend. It's been too long, but it's great to be back on the At the Races airwaves.
Well, I wanted to catch up because, we're 2 weeks now. Yeah, I guess we are 2 weeks, a week and a half in, and we didn't talk, yet about the meet and how you're adjusting and everybody, adjusting and dealing with it in their own way.
It's been bizarre, certainly a meet unlike any other. My overwhelming sense is just happy to be up here in Saratoga with racing going on. Happy, you mentioned Kim, happy to be working with her on putting together a lot of fun, different little events. We had a quick call day viewing party over at Walton Whitman Brewery, and we're doing a really fun thing at Oklahoma on Saturday morning that folks might be interested in. We have somebody who's very tight with the Thoroughbred Retirement Foundation has agreed to lend us their backyard on Fifth Avenue on Saturday morning from 7:30 to 9:30. A donation gets you in. We got bagels. I'm making Bloody Marys. We're talking horses. A small blonde child may follow you around trying to sell you a 50-50 raffle associated with one of that day's stakes races. It's going to be an absolute blast. And if folks want to go, you can make a donation. She's giving me a hug now, that little child. You can make a donation over at trfinc.org/players, and we'll send you the details on the event. It's going to be fun. So we're trying to, I guess the real answer is we're trying to make the best of it in whatever ways we can, and getting a chance to interact with people and recreate, just a head fake towards the camaraderie that we're also used to having over at the plant in these summer days. It's not easy, but hey, we're making the best of it, right?
Yeah, and it's. I keep saying that the town itself is trying to adjust, and whether it's people that are going to be here all summer or coming up to their house for or condo, whatever it might be for weekends. Even for day trips, they want to be at Saratoga, and you do sense that we've got a little bit of a better vibe here, a week in after the first 4 day, which those first 4 days never are too vigorous anyway.
It's a very good point. I feel like in some past years, look, I've enjoyed that weekend, but it hasn't had the buzz anyway.
No,
I think we're sort of figuring out how to do this and how to get together with our friends in safe, fun, friendly ways. And as we get to more of the traditional Saratoga features, I think it's bound to feel a bit more like Saratoga. But, you know, it's such a, I'm just trying not to hold this meet, for obvious reasons, to the same standards as we have meets past. I, again, just happy to be up here, happy to be out of the city, happy to still be in, when you're in Saratoga, you're still, regardless of whether you can go to the races or not, you're in a place where horse racing matters, and you're going to be able to strike up, you're going to see a lot of racing shirt, you'll see a lot of Old Smoke t-shirts around and other good racing related stuff, and have an opportunity to connect with people over, over who you like in the double, whether you're online at 5 points or out sitting and having lunch somewhere. So it's still, for me, there's nowhere I'd rather be. And obviously, is it going to live up to all the expectations of an average Saratogan? No. Am I going to be able to relate to people who are dealing with depression over their 7 week Christmas morning feeling getting interrupted? Of course, I have a lot of empathy for those people. But, you know, I'll say this. I think that horse racing is, generally speaking, and certainly when it comes to New York, I feel good saying this, is trying to approach things in the smart, right way. And the extremely limited spectators in the form of owners feels right to me. And look no further than Major League Baseball for an example of what happens if you just kind of throw caution to the wind in these situations. Yeah. I think we have too much to lose with horse racing. And I'm okay with the way it's being handled as far as that goes.
No, well said. What about the action on the oval? Any early feel here? First couple of weeks.
I've been doing okay. I haven't been betting much. It's been a couple of surgical strikes. Sunday was a good day. Very limited action, but I liked it Hop Around at that price, so that turned it into an okay day. And I'm doing more analysis than I've ever done before. Working for an ADW, doing some little videos for each race, and then of course loads of content over at InTheMoneyPodcast.com. So this is the first time I'd say even like I don't know a dozen years, 15 years that I've like actually properly handicapped every race, and I'm actually kind of loving it. You know, it's one of those things where the more you're doing the deep dive on a regular basis, the kind of the easier it becomes, the more in tune you feel. So I'm definitely getting ready to hopefully continue to up the participation as the meet goes along. So it's been a lot of fun as far as that goes.
Yeah, and I agree too that kind of wading into it was almost, for me anyway, it ended up being kind of a necessity. And part of that, of course, was the fact that the Haskell was right on top of opening weekend as well. And, you know, we broadcast opening day at the track and then hightailed it down to Jersey. So I knew that first weekend was going to be a little, you know, helter skelter. And now I'm starting to get into a nice beat actually on a daily basis, and frankly there's been so much good racing, Pete, early in the week elsewhere, and you know the openings to keep track of and publicize and you know touch base with all the various entities handling the other venues, there's been a lot going on. I do get the sense though now that with Whitney weekend, which historically, has always been in a lot of cases the week that people would start to come up to Saratoga, then going back to the old, four week style Saratoga. It feels like, August. They called it the August place to be for a reason. and that I think it's still very, Andy brings this up all the time. Andy certainly reminds everybody that the 4 weeks of August is when this thing, when it really lives and breathes.
I think that's exactly right. And I remember it even from last year. We were talking before about the first weekend being quiet. Really, the first two weekends, obviously, we don't have all the juice of the sale this year, but
yes,
still, with
some
of those traditional features coming back, it's going to matter. And I'm also hoping, and I think this was something that I want to give credit because I thought it was a good observation. I think I got this one from Nick Tamaro the idea that horses getting to run back from Keeneland, that might help in some of the participation in the stakes races as well here. So I think we're on the upswing. I'm feeling good about it. It's obviously, you know, it's not going to do well if you compare it to your typical Saratoga, but that's not the world we're living in. For the world we're living in, for me, this has been a salve and a balm and something. I've also I just love being so busy and having so much racing to focus on, even if it's not exactly, you know, what we're used to up here. I don't think I think there's much more positive about what's happening than negative. And, you know, me, I tend to try to focus on that stuff. The game is hard enough without looking for the negatives and things in a year that's obviously just put us all through the ringer. I've really enjoyed having Saratoga to watch. And I think you made a good point also, Steve, about the racing throughout the week. It's been cool to have busy Wednesdays like last week with those Lone Star Park Stakes, and this Monday with an interesting card at Lone Star, and to have some Del Mar to focus on. There are plenty of things for the optimist among us to look at amidst all the chaos and confusion that's so such a part of our world, inevitable part of our world right now.
Well, and look forward to. I'm sure we'll see you, if not, you know, not around the track in the next little while. Then, you know, certainly for the barbecue, for the drive-by barbecue on the 11th, 2 weeks from yesterday, and at Saratoga Winery. We talked about it yesterday. Those listening might have heard Kim this morning or on the replay or yesterday live. So, Pete, continued good luck, and we'll touch base as things continue. And in the Money Players Podcast and the parade of terrific information from Pete and Jonathan and everybody that's contributing. And we'll see you soon.
Anytime, my friend. I really appreciate the chance to come on and talk to you and the listeners, and hopefully we can do it again soon for a more proper length visit. But thanks for working with me today.
Not at all. Pete Fornatale, everybody, looms boldly on your Twitter machine. We'll stay right here because Ray Arsenault is going to join us, and Ray guaranteed a return to Vegas. Nothing better when we get to NHC than having the returning champions all striving to be the one that becomes the first two-time winner. Ray, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Steve. Hope everything's good.
Hanging in. You all right up? Everything okay at TO?
Yeah, everything's good. Nice day today with what's going on. Most definitely it's a different way of life. But we've kind of set ourselves up in a routine. And every day, every week, we do the same, like Monday, Wednesday, Friday. I play some golf. And Tuesday is a nice relaxing day, and Thursday I look a bit at the races, and then the weekend I get into, I'm a Del Mar guy, so I really like playing Del Mar, so Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and throwing a little bit of Saratoga. So, yeah, it's thank God we've had the races to be able to do this during these times.
No doubt. How long did you stay in Florida? When did you come back north?
We stayed right to the end. We actually came back on, I think the Sunday was April 25th or 6th, and we actually got the last flight that Air Canada was running out of Fort Lauderdale.
Wow.
And we were wondering if we were going to get bumped or what, because being the last flight, we thought they were going to sell out. But it worked out. The plane was three quarters full, and they had the social distancing. And, yeah, we got back, and we quarantined for 2 weeks. And then we were able to, go about our business.
Unbelievable. Well, you went about your business of qualifying again, and talk about this past weekend. You and Joe Rosen ran 1-2 and both earned seats.
Yeah, I don't know Joe myself, but actually I I do partner up with a good friend of mine, and because of the fact we cannot get to any contests
right.
from Canada, we've got the no travel. So I've been playing with Steve Thompson, and as you know, Steve won the Grade One Gamble, and
yeah,
I've been working with. We've been working together every day. We talk and we go over the races. And it's been great for me since I was able to be part of the Grade One Gamble. And this past week, we played the Pick Your Prize. So we had to do most of the race, well, all the races from Monmouth. So I thought, well, we're doing the Monmouth races. We always look at Saratoga. I said, well, I'll go in to the NHC contest, which I've been trying the last months. It's the only way we can get there now is trying online.
Sure.
So I went into the one on horse players, which was for people that had not have a seat yet, and there was no tour points, but I thought, hey, you know, that's how I made it last year when I was in St. Martin. I got lucky and I qualified on that one. So I put in my my money for that, and then I thought, well, horse tourney's running one, so I'll play on horse tourney. And so what I did is I put horse tourneys was pick and pray, and horse players was a live contest. And I also tried the Spa Showdown, which is coming up in a couple of weeks, which is a great cash game on horse tourneys. So I had all three, and I put all the same picks in. I used the pick and pray picks, and I just let them go, and we concentrated on the Pick Your Prize. And we hit a few little exactors here and there to keep us afloat, but we weren't really knocking it out. So then it all got a little hairy when the Saratoga's ninth race came up, and I had the 10 horse, the Turbo Drive, I believe his name was.
Yeah, yeah.
With IRAD and Michael Maker. And Steve and I had talked about this race earlier, and I had kind of was leaning towards the 7, the Pletcher horse, and he had liked the 9, 10, 11, and we were saying, well, the 7's going to be too low of a price, so I'm not one to take favorites, as you know.
Nope.
So I looked, and I said, well, if IRAD and Michael Maker are going to give you 15, 20 to 1, I says, you got to play him. And then I thought the horse fit, so did Steve, so... So I put him on all the tickets and
wow.
Watched the race, and he was dead last all the way around. I went, oh, well, we'll try again tomorrow. And all of a sudden, he came shooting in between, and he actually won quite easy. So I said, wow, that's going to get me up there. So I checked and saw I was going to be probably in the top 5. And then the next race at Monmouth was the... Just 6 furlong. I can't even remember what type of race it was, but landed on the 5 horse there. He was a bomb. I knew he'd be a price, and we actually talked about him in the morning, and we did something that I don't normally do, but Steve thought this 5 horse had a good chance to run second. So we wheeled him in the exactors for second. And if you watch the race, I actually was watching the race after about 2 furlongs. The horse checks, and I said, he's done. I stopped watching. And then I'm sitting here, and all of a sudden I look up at the TV just as they're hitting the wire. And I said, that can't be the 5 that just ran second. So I wait for the replay, and sure enough, he came back is beyond me, and he ran second, and we had a nice exactor. We got back about 2,600, which put us into 4th place on the Pick Your Prize, so it was a nice spot to be. We had like 2,800, and with 1 race to go, we figured, hey, we're going to get something here. I didn't know at the time, but Steve's double qualified, so... If you're double qualified and there was only NHC prizes left, they were given a $4,000 cash prize to
right.
anybody that was double qualified. So I said, well, that's neat. And So we played the race just to stay ahead of the fifth place person who had like 2,400, I guess. And I think we put about 300 to the race. We didn't hit it. The horse we had, the 12 horse, he was a price. I liked him. And he just was so far back. Yeah, I think he ended up running third, which was pretty good from where he was. But anyways, so we waited for the results, and as you were reading up this morning, we ended up finishing 10th, and by then all the prizes of cash and BCBC were gone. So we ended up, I'm going off topic here, sorry a bit.
No,
but
it's all right.
Anyways, we finished 10th, and so now I, with my place price on the NHC contest, I said, boy, I'm going to be right there. And then the TV flips on to Del Mar at third race. And in that race, I was stuck between two horses. I kind of liked the four horse and I liked the seven. And I thought the seven would be a better price. The jockey's not a well-known jockey, Victor Flores. And he had won twice at Del Mar, liked the distance. So I played the seven, and I'm watching the race and coming into the stretch. And here he makes his move. He was sitting second, third the whole race on the outside. And the outside's been so live at Del Mar this meet. So I thought, well, I got a shot here. So coming down the stretch, he takes the lead. He's fighting with the three horse, the big favorite, head and head. And I'm yelling. I jump out of my chair, and I'm like, come on, because I know if he wins, I probably will win both contests and get two NH seats and the Spa Showdown. So, but then it ended up, he finished second. I got back about $8 for place, and then I was leading all my contests, and then I'm just hoping to hang in. I changed a couple of the live picks because I figured I had them on the pick and pray. Let's move them to my secondary horses. Unfortunately, they didn't run. I ended up finishing third on the horse players. Funny, a bunch of my buddies sent me texts saying, oh, sorry, too bad. You know, nice try. And I they didn't know there was one on horse tourneys. So I sent back saying, oh, that's okay. I ended up getting my seat on horse tourneys. So I thought that was kind of neat.
Unbelievable.
So,
nice,
yeah,
work.
So,
nice work.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and I'm just, as you were talking, I was looking at the various, I've got most of the PPs or at least the charts from the weekend here. And that horse at Monmouth, that was that Oceano Rosso at 26 to 1. And you ended up getting 1960 as the place price. Bill Hogan's longest shot on the board, actually. And Castillo got her up for second over the favorite. Nice job.
If you see the race, Steve, you would have said this horse is done. He pulled up. I think they put an inquiry on the winner, and the jockey just kind of pulled him. He never did get interfered with, but he brought him, you know, way back, and to come on like that was nice. So.
Well, and that was also a good pick at Del Mar, Potantico, with the 7-pound Bug Boy, and 17-1, almost 18-1, and almost beat the 4-5 favorite.
Yeah, I thought he was going to win it down the stretch. Like I said, I got up and started jumping, and reminded me of the good days of the NHC.
So, I love it.
So yeah, I'm so happy. You know, with us up here in Canada, we're only allowed to play on horse tourneys or horse players. It's a shame. You know, I was all booked to go to Monmouth for the Pick Your Prize. Lauren Weiss and I and his and Andrew and I think Johnny Kimoff were all ready to go. And then when this all came down, you know, get our refunds from the airlines and all this. I have booked to Keeneland also, and even the Horse Fair World Series they canceled. So It's a tough one when I love to get to the States and get to all these tracks. You know, I brought a little list here. I would have been at Keeneland, Monmouth, Arlington in July. Heather's last year I went. Belmont was a possibility. And this week here would have been Del Mar. And I would have been out there for 4 or 5 days for the Del Mar. And then next week would have been back for Saratoga. So... it's a shame, but now, it's the way it
just,
is.
Yeah, we're just everybody dealing with it, and of course the tracks have done a terrific job in concert with the ADWs of moving things online, including Brian. We talked to Brian Skarka last week ahead of the Monmouth contest. So, Ray, it always great to see your name on the leaderboard and. Obviously, you got quite a bit of time between now and February to get a second seat, and you got Breeders' Cup to look forward to as well. It is tough. I would love to have seen everybody for the Battle of Saratoga. That's always a popular destination, but we're just going to put it off till next year.
Yeah, let's hope. Yeah, we're hoping this. This air travel between the States and Canada, or the travel, gets lifted. It's to the end of August now, so let's hope. We finally just started opening restaurants in Stage 3, other than Toronto, which I live north of Toronto. They're still in Stage 2, Toronto, but should be coming soon that everything should be back up and running. Let's hope.
Well, Ray, you also got to be, I'm sure you're absolutely delighted for Jerry with he and cousin Paul Pompa with their stake winners, and they're getting ready for the Travers. I imagine that you're following Jerry's exploits as well. So all your pals seemingly getting some, getting some success out of the summer. I think we lost Ray. All right. Well, nice to connect with Ray Arsenault, one of the really affable and just one of the champions that has been such a great addition to the gallery of champs that win the NHC. Past the top of the hour, let's actually use that opportunity to take a break and come back with a visit from Sid, Sire Watch Pedigree Focus, brought to you by Hill and Dale. Back after this.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Ah, Saratoga. It's history. It's tradition. It's world-class racing. It's jump racing. Yes, steeplechase racing has played a role in Saratoga's rich history and tradition since 1864. And today, it's a part of what makes Saratoga so special. Watch every Wednesday of the meet and two special Thursdays featuring the Grade 1 AP Smithick on July 23rd and the Grade 1 New York Turf Riders Cup on August 20th. Savor the thrill of horses flying over fences. Steeplechase racing, it's a Saratoga tradition.
How's it going, Sue?
Hey!
Have you seen this commercial?
What career track are you on?
University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program can prepare you for an exciting career in racing. Turn your passion into a paycheck.
Isn't that the horse racing school that Bob Baffert went to?
Yeah, Todd Fletcher, too, and lots of other major players in every area of the industry.
Really?
Like what?
Well, for starters, we have graduates who are executives at Churchill Downs, NYRA, Darley America, Gulfstream, Keeneland, you name it. They're also regulators, racing officials, bloodstock agents, track announcers. My class had a job placement rate of almost 90%.
Wow. What other college program has results like that?
What career track are you on? The University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program. Enroll today and get on track for success. Nearly 90% of our students are employed in the racing industry immediately upon graduation. For scholarship opportunities and more, check out our website at ua-rtip.org.
Breaking down the biggest stories in the world of horse racing, this is At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
We're back at the races, 10 minutes into hour two on this Wednesday. It means it's time for Sire Watch Pedigree Focus, brought to you by Hillendale.